Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 97, recorded April 30th, 2026. Woo! Right.
Yeah.
Well, here we are at another episode 97. My God.
Getting up there.
Yes, we are. And, all right, let's get started with some news. All right. The first thing here, the Clayface teaser trailer was let out. And my God, I can't wait for that body horror. I love body horror.
Yeah.
And just the scene where he wipes his face and it smears off. Like, holy fuck.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it looks pretty intense. I can see why they call it a horror movie.
Yeah, it's great that DC is making a horror movie. Because, you know, Marvel did too with Doctor Strange 3. Is kind of a horror movie.
Yeah, I would say.
Doctor Strange 2 in
Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness. But I really wish it would make something... You know, or even Werewolf by Night was pretty much a horror film. But I really wish they would make like a Man Thing and Werewolf by Night a movie that's more Man Thing horror from the comics.
I love that.
Werewolf Morbius was kind of a horror.
Yeah, in more ways than one.
It's Morbin time.
They don't consider Blade horror movies. Nah, more action, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yeah, action vampire.
Action horror.
Action horror, sure. DC Studios' first ever foray into the genre. Clayface is a horror thriller from director James Watkins, starring Tom Rhys-Harris and the title role of Gotham City villain. Clayface unravels one man's horrifying descent into from rising Hollywood star to revenge-filled monster in a story that explores the loss of one's identity and humanity, corrosive love, and dark vulnerability, an underbelly of the scientific ambition. Science experiment gone wrong.
Bum, bum, bum.
Another trailer. They got the Evil Dead Burn teaser trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It's a one-shot teaser trailer, which is fucking awesome. Yeah, it seems like the Deadites are like on extra powerful and extra crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you look in the background, that dude's like floating, you're like, what the fuck? He's like levitating, and you're like,
it looked like a cabin. Yeah. Like it looked like it was in a cabin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
But from the outside they showed it like a house. It looked like somebody's house.
And the angles that they were taking were cool.
Yeah, it was. Evil Dead Burn unleashes the franchise's most savage and terrifying ride to date. Blazing into big screens, an all-new chapter of carnage and demonic mayhem. At the loss of her husband, a woman seeks solace with her in-laws and their secluded family home. As one by one, they are transformed into deadites, turning the gathering into a family reunion from hell. She came to discover that the vows she took in life live on in death.
Nice.
According to an article I read recently in the new Hollywood Reporter, they're saying this may be the most violent Evil Dead film to date. Ooh. That multiple people coming out from reviews have been saying it's an ungodly amount of blood and viscera and probably the most violent Evil Dead film they've ever seen.
So isn't the guy who directed this the guy who did Infested? Didn't we talk about this? I think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so
yes, that's correct.
So I was kind of excited because we liked Infested a lot.
Yeah, it was great.
I think he's a French guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie was French.
Nice. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it too. The new trailer for Insidious Out of the Further was released.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've guys seen that. The Insidious.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with the last one.
It used to be one of my favorites. One and two came
The
out.
First was one like, was amazing.
Yeah.
and two.
Yeah.
Two was good too. Yeah.
Last one was disappointing.
Yep.
Yeah. But that trailer looks great. Well, in Insidious Out of the Further, Amelia Eve stars as Gemma, a young mother raising her daughter in the house of the house she grew up in, who discovers she can travel into the Further. The purgatorial realm of lost souls at the heart of Insidious universe. When something evil comes after her, Gemma discovers the ability that changes everything. She doesn't just enter the Further, she can bring what lives there back to the real world. Once the demons realize her power, our world becomes their playground.
Sounds like a decent plot.
Yeah. There's also a trailer out for a new independent film called Leviticus. Two teenage boys must escape a violent entity that takes the form of the person they desire most. Each other.
Interesting.
Really interesting.
Yeah. It's a religious type horror film because it's all, it has two gay men and a priest was
doing his
saying some prayers and preaching to them, and then an entity is coming to kill them.
Well, Leviticus, isn't that a
Old Testament?
That's the part of the Bible that says, you know, shall not lie with a man, you shall not eat shellfish, you know, all the things you're not supposed to do that Christians do, except for the one. That one thing is the worst.
Yeah. Well, some of them do it. They just, you know, are more against it.
Hide. That's right. They do it. All right. Noah Hawley is to direct the remake of Terrified. Terrified reviewed not too long ago, right? A few months ago.
Yep.
It's just, and it wasn't that old of a movie, right?
And they're making a U.S. remake.
Yeah, I know.
Happens every now and then.
It was
they
good.
Just
was
did it like See No Evil, and it was,
that was like Argentinian or something like that, I remember.
Yeah, it was Argentinian.
I don't know.
Yes, Speak No Evil was a great flick, and then they did it with James McAvoy, and I'm like, oh, well, James McAvoy, and it was just not good.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that was my last pick, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Noah Hawley will produce under the Austin-based banner 26 Keys. 26 Keys' most recent release was Alien Earth. You know, Noah Hawley directed and wrote that series for Fox.
That was really good.
The critically acclaimed series based on the classic sci-fi franchise, which is set for a second season on Hulu and FX coming this year.
Nice.
Yeah, so 26 Keys is also behind Hawley's anthology series, Fargo. The Emmys juggernaut that has been nominated for 70 Primetime Emmy Awards, including 7 wins over its 5 seasons, as well as the FX series Legion. Yeah, he also wrote that, too. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. They're just beginning to release. They're going to put this out. It's going to be begin filming later this year, so we'll see what happens. I mean, it was a decent movie, but yeah, the special effects were not great, and having to read the subtitles wasn't awesome, but
yeah,
maybe Noah Hawley will do a good job with it. I don't know. It's hard because once we've seen it with the Let the Right One In, the US remake was shit.
Yeah.
We've seen it with Speak No Evil. We've seen it with so many things, and just, you know, keep the original. It's great. And it's if people can't read subtitles and don't like watching foreign films, then fuck them. They don't need to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
According to Screen Rant, James Wan is still working on his Call of Cthulhu movie. It's been about 3 years since we first learned about this, and I've been anxiously waiting it.
Yeah, he hasn't really dug. I mean, he's produced pretty much lately, I think, right? That's about all he's done.
Yeah, and Call of Cthulhu is basically his pet project that he's been wanting to do for a very long time. So he's been working on writing that. He has that script written, but he's looking on shopping around. And this is basically what he said in this article on Screen Rant, is that he's been wanting to do this for quite some time, and he's currently facing the same hurdle that all Lovecraftian films face, which is they're not cheap movies to make. They require a lot of special effects.
Water.
He also admits that it's very hard to try to get them off the ground. It's a very hard sell to studios to spend that kind of money on something that is a extra dimensional.
It's a niche too, right?
Exactly.
To streaming. It's got to be straight to streaming because like you're not going to get theater people going to theater to see that in large numbers.
Yeah, it's going to wind up being a rated R horror movie, which, you know, despite the fact that many rated R horror films do well, theaters still don't feel like spending the money on it. They still feel like it's a big risk.
Yeah.
I think Chapter 1 kind of proved that you could have quite a successful film and make a lot of money with a rated R.
That's coming out, isn't it? The full version? I just saw, I think maybe next week.
The back-to-back? No, he said he's still working on it.
Okay.
I guess they're making it like the, kind of like the Kill Bill whole bloody affair. He says he's still working on that. I don't think I have a hard article for it. We talked about it last month, I think.
Okay.
All right. Osgood Perkins is now working on a new Long Legs movie. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Osgood Perkins and Nicolas Cage will team up with Paramount for a new Long Legs movie. This movie is not a sequel, but it's something set in the Long Legs universe. It will be co-produced by Nicolas Cage.
Yep.
What?
And rather than it being the original distributor of Neon Pictures, it's going right to Paramount. Paramount picked up the rights for a new mystery Long Legs project, which Perkins has written and will direct as well as produce. Nicolas Cage is returning as the star and co-producer.
Okay.
So that's pretty awesome. Osgood Perkins, I don't know if you guys have seen...
The Monkey? I mean, it's good stuff.
Keeper. Have you seen Keeper?
Yes.
Haven't seen that yet.
I fucking loved it. Keeper was a great movie.
It was an awesome movie, yeah.
All right. Is that streaming currently?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. I like his stuff.
Yeah, Osgood Perkins writes some wild shit.
I'm just trying to think of how you do a sequel. Well, it's not a sequel.
It's not a sequel. It's a story within the same universe. What that means, I don't know. We'll see.
All right, yeah. I mean, if anyone can do it, he probably could, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. A24 is working on a reimagining of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. How many times will we play this game?
Another reimagination of the reimagination of the reimagination.
Exactly. Didn't we have... there was one recently from the producer of the Transformer movies, the guy with all the explosions. Didn't he do
Michael
one of
Bay.
The... Yeah, Michael Bay, didn't he do a Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake?
I want to say that there was one like in 22 or 23 that came out. It was like, I think,
let me look
came
it up
out towards the end of it. It was like, I forget, it was like a bunch of like business school students on a trip or some shit.
Keeper's not free. You can rent it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty trippy movie.
Yeah, so 2023,
I was right.
It was remade. Yep, you are correct. And the director, it was produced by Michael Bay. Mm. The director was Marcus Nispel, but it was Michael Bay's production company and Michael Bay as producer.
Okay, it was okay.
It wasn't great. It had Jessica Biel in it.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be.
They did one on Netflix too, didn't they?
Probably.
they probably did.
That wasn't terrible, though. I don't think it was terrible.
Oh, yeah. 2022 they did Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, so there was one in 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, the one in 2022 was for Netflix, and that one, that one was, that story was written by Fede Alvarez.
That was a good, yeah, that was a good version of it.
And Fede Alvarez was the producer of it.
Yep.
I do like Fede Alvarez.
What?
I said I do like Fede Alvarez.
Exactly. I was going to say, I hope no one says
they don't
like
him. You
guys
never saw that one on Netflix?
I think I did. Never. No. I think I did.
I didn't, because I'm like, I'm a purist. How can you go wrong from the original 1974 film? I remember seeing it and thinking the whole thing was fucking real.
Yeah,
it's a great film, but I understand people trying to either play homage to it or, you know,
a new take of it.
Some people are just doing it for the money, but some people are, you know, possibly doing it as like a tribute.
Yeah,
most, not everybody, but you know, so I give them a shot here and there.
Well, here's a little bit more of that story. So the Curry Barker, who is directed Obsession, the new film that's out, is going to direct the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Reimagining at A24 Studios.
Cool.
According to Variety Magazine, Barker will take the lead on the project, billed by the project leaders as a reimagining of the 1974 horror classic created by Toby Hooper and Kim Menkel. Barker's vision for the famed killer Leatherface and a gaggle of young things he terrorizes under wraps. No information is leaked outside of the fact that it's being reimagined. The film is also being developed along a proposed Texas Chainsaw TV series that's going to be sold to streaming.
That's going to be bad.
Start with Glenn Powell production and starring. Interesting.
Glenn Powell starring in a Texas Chainsaw series.
I mean, he's from Texas.
Would he play Leatherface?
Did you guys see the new Running Man?
I liked it. I thought it was good.
It was great.
It was a good take on it. It was the same concept, but a totally different spin.
Take on it. It's the fucking book.
It was good. I liked it. List. I liked it a lot. I watched it on my flight to Vegas.
Hey, Jack Mayhoffer, your video is choppy and your audio is breaking up and your face looks like a white blob with dots on it.
Looks like Clayface.
Lay off the acid, man.
It's almost like I don't know if your kids have ever played Pokemon. Mm. There's that one little pink blob called what the hell's his name? Ditto? Ditto? He's got two dots for eyes. That's what your face looks like right now.
I don't know why, man. I'm in the same place I'm always at. And I was good for like the last few weeks. I had this problem, probably a couple months ago, but I don't know.
It's like your laptop has the bandwidth of two shoestrings with Coke cans on either side.
Hi, guys.
Pull it tighter, Chris. We can't hear you.
What? No, you got to put it to your ear while I talk through it.
What?
Your ear. Put it to your ear.
All right, let's get on to the next story. Next story, Hard Eyes sequel is in the works. That's right.
I like the first one. I like the first one.
It was not bad.
Didn't see the first one.
It was a fun one.
I keep looking at it, and I never pull the trigger to watch it.
According to Deadline, Spyglass Horror Picks gets global release with Paramount for 2028. The sequel to Josh Rubin's 2025 horror romance, Hard Eyes, is coming to a Melrose lot. Well, they're filming it on site here in Paramount. All right. Paramount Pictures will co-produce and co-finance Spyglass Media Group's Hard Eyes 2 for a global theatrical release that is set for February 11th, 2028. The pick will be written by Ruben and Darcy Fowler. The story, Christopher Landon and Michael Kennedy. Ruben will also direct. Landon and Divide Conquer will produce. There's no log line. We don't know any other details. But according to Deadline, they believe Olivia Holt will be reprising her role as Allie McCabe.
All right.
According to Variety Magazine, the new movie Hellhound has a star-studded cast. Justin Long, Ron Perlman, Harry Shrum Jr. from Everything Everywhere All at Once, Martin Starr, Jarrett Austin Brown from Stumble, signed up to star in Hellbound, the upcoming action comedy that Variety magazine last month announced in Cannes Film Festival in 2025. The quintet joined Marissa Tomei and Sam Rockwell, plus Chris Messina and Ivan Martin in the film, being directed by Zach Golden from High Heat, being sold to Daniel Gasher's sales company, Van S Pictures. What the fuck? Okay, so that is the end of the news. So let's go with what's next? Oh, five great flicks to watch on a streaming service.
Before we go to that real quick, it's not horror related. Did you guys see the trailer for Super Troopers 3?
Yes.
Shit looks funny as hell.
Dude, I can't wait.
I can't wait either. All right.
I was so excited I went and watched the first one again because I've never seen
anything bad from those guys.
No, I haven't either. Nope. All right.
I was hoping they'd do like another Club Dread too, but
that'd be nice. That was a fun ass movie. All right, off to it's been a while since we've done Netflix, so I did five things to watch on Netflix. You know, they're hit or miss. Sometimes they got some decent stuff on there. Sometimes they don't have anything to work.
They just don't add anything new that frequent anymore.
I canceled my Netflix.
Okay, well, this is for anybody who still has Netflix. Here's five movies you can watch on Netflix right now that I liked. We have Saw X or Saw 10, as some people might say. I really thought that was a great film that's available currently on Netflix. Bone Lake. I mean, besides the title being a great title, it was actually a pretty interesting take on a, you know, sexy horror film.
Yep.
Zombieland. Can't go wrong with Zombieland. It's a great freaking movie. Deadstream, which I saw on Shudder originally, and yes, that's a Shudder original, and it's a fun movie. Really caught me off guard, and I enjoyed it. And last one is Green Room, which is also a awesome movie about a bunch of neo Nazis and a punk band. So those are five. Five movies to watch on Netflix now. All right, there you go.
Wow, awesome. Fantastic. All right, let's move on to our top five. Now, the top five this month is the top five Shudder originals.
Oh, Shudder originals. What a coincidence.
Yeah. Top five Shudder originals. Yep. And this month it is Sal, Chris, Craig. All right.
And we're only allowed 200 mentions, right?
That is correct. Thank you. Yeah. We want to try and keep honorable mentions down.
Because it was tough. Yeah. There's a lot of good movies.
Yeah, they have a lot of originals.
Yeah.
A lot of really good originals.
All right. Let's start off. My number five. Suitable Flesh.
I haven't watched that one yet. I heard it's good.
Nope.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
Heather Graham, I mean.
Yeah, come on, man. My number four. And we just talked about this one, Infested.
Ah, yes, yes. Great spider movie.
My number three. In a Violent Nature.
Oh, shit.
I just got the 4K of that one.
Ah, totally forgot about that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're coming out in part
two.
Totally
forgot about that.
My number two, One Cut of the Dead.
That was a great one, too.
It's a fucking great film.
It's a Korean flick, right? Or Japanese. Japanese. Yeah. Oh, it was really good.
Japanese.
It's a comedy horror, but it's all one take, which is fucking crazy.
It's fucking great.
The entire movie.
Yeah, 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 I remember seeing it.
My number one, Late Night with the Devil.
Nice. Nice.
Yep.
I got two honorable mentions, of course, because there were so many to fucking choose from.
Yeah.
Ugly Stepsister.
Ah, yeah. Like I said, we were limited to two honorable mentions, so it was tough. Because there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. My second honorable mention, Glorious. I still tell people about that film because it was so great.
It was different, and yeah, it was a really good film.
Yeah. And it's short. It's like 85 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, and like two actors for most of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget who did the voice in the bathroom. That was, it was, wasn't that somebody?
Yeah, it was, what's his name? Fuck. J.K. Wait, no. Yeah, something. It's got initials. J.P. Fuck, what's his last name?
J.K. Simmons.
That's it. J.K. Simmons. He's the guy who plays J. Right. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man.
Yep.
Farmers. Yep. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
He does farmers. The Farmers commercials, yep, too. Dude, it was funny hearing his voice on the other side of that.
Coming wall. Through the glory hole.
Yeah. Yeah. that's such a great movie.
Yep.
Who's next? Me or Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, your turn. Hey.
Okay. Hey. So my number five is Speak No Evil, the Danish version of Speak No Evil, not the American version.
Yeah, what is such a great film.
Dude, the ending of that movie, just like my jaw like just dropped at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Slow burn, but great flick. My number four, Late Night with the Devil. Was a great film. Yes.
Yep.
We reviewed that, right? We reviewed that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's been out a long time, too.
My number three, The Sadness. That movie is
That was
fucked
good.
Up. Like,
yeah,
I'm not, I have like, for some reason, the foreign zombie movies I like better than the American zombie movies.
Yeah. They're very different and way more of a spectacle.
Yeah. And they weren't quite zombies in there. They were like sick in the head, but it was still like a zombie. They were crazy.
Yep.
Yep.
My number two, Glorious.
Yeah.
Cause it was such a different and fun movie. And my number one, and I think this was my number one the year that we did our top 10 movies, When Evil Lurks. I just love that movie. Like,
that was a really good.
Yeah.
That was a really good
movie. It was hard. There was so many good movies available to put on this.
Dude, all of those that you mentioned were on my scratch list that I was going through.
Yeah, I have several scratches on here. My honorable mentions are Infested and Deadstream, which I had mentioned previously as a movie to watch on Netflix.
Yep. Nice. Yep.
And there's a lot that didn't make the list, but are great movies. Way to go, Shudder.
For Shizzle.
Yeah, Shudder kicks ass.
They do.
For the most part.
And they just...
I just renewed for another year. And now their app is way better. Even the app on my phone is better.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, the user interface.
It's gotten a lot better since they first started, huh?
Yeah.
It was awful when they first started.
Dude, it was terrible. Yeah,
the live TV would just pop up. You're like
worse than that.
The search function was terrible.
It was terrible. Sorry. And I remember like clicking on to watch a movie, and all of a sudden the live stream audio would be playing as the movie starts. I'm like, wait, this audio isn't. Oh, that's the live stream playing the audio. I had to quit the app and restart it.
It would log me out all the time too. Like I would, you know, jump on the app and it says I needed to log back in. I'm like, I never logged out. It was terrible.
Remember we tried to watch the Chainsaw Awards on it the first time they tried to air it, and they had the clock up there, and we're like, wait, when the hell is it supposed to start? Like, and they're having like difficulties like getting it connected. Come a long way, Shudder. Anyway,
come a long way for sure.
They have come a long way for sure.
Okay, my number five, Glorious is my number five.
Made them all.
We all had that,
Number four, nobody else had this one on either of their lists, All the Moons.
Oh, that was a good one. I like that.
It was good.
I don't know. That movie was just well done, well written.
And different.
Well acted.
Different. Like it was a
story was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Number three, I went with Oddity. Nobody else had that one either.
Yeah.
Same people's caveat.
And Hokum
almost made my list too. And Hokum. That movie looks like it's
got potential. It does look like it does have potential.
Number two, I had In a Violent Nature.
I totally forgot about that movie.
For my number two. And number one, Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
That was both your number ones, right? Sal, that was your number one too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they did, yeah, they've had some stuff out in the theaters.
Also too. On my list. Yeah. So we all had that one too.
Yep.
Nice.
And honorable mentions, Ugly Stepsister and VHS Halloween. I really like that movie.
Yeah, that was really good too.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That one surprised me.
All nice. Right. Again, way to go, Shudder.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those streaming services that I bought and never canceled.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Because I watch movies on it at least once a week.
And there is other, not too many, but there's other ones out there that do horror.
Deadstream or whatever that one is, I think.
Played around with them. Screenbox.
Screenbox, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Screenbox is okay, but they don't have a lot of like original content on there.
Titles, not even eight titles. Yeah, it's just a lot of, ugh.
Yeah, excellent. Fantastic.
But I think Bloody Disgusting owns them, don't they? The Screenbox? Or
I think they're an investor or something. I don't know if they own them.
Yeah, they do got some skin in the game somehow.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that brings us to...
All right. That brings us to the movie of the month. So, The Mortuary Assistant. Synopsis. It follows Rebecca Owens, a mortuary science graduate who takes a night job at River Fields Mortuary. What begins as a routine job soon turns sinister and faces a terrifying supernatural force. Directed by Jeremiah Kipp, produced by Patrick Ewald and Cole Payne, screenwriter Tracy Bibe, Brian Clark, distributor is Seismic Releasing and Epic Pictures, production company is Epic Pictures, Dread Productions, and Traverse Media. The genre is horror, mystery, thriller. It's in English. It was released in theaters on a limited run February 13th, 2026, and released to streaming March 27th, 2026. It's 1 hour and 30 minutes long. I'm going to say this.
The synopsis, I was waiting for you to read it because I really couldn't tell you what the movie was. And that's what the synopsis says. It just a girl graduates from school and tries to get a job.
Sounds about right.
The popcorn on Rotten Tomatoes, the popcorn meter gives it. Now, remember, the popcorn meter is viewers like you and I. Yeah. 18%.
Yeah.
And actual reviewers, its tomato score is 36%.
It's higher than the. That's surprising, but.
It's universally disliked, let's put it that way.
Yeah. You didn't know that before you picked it, did you?
No, no. All I knew is that I briefly tried the game. Yeah, I briefly tried the game. It wasn't that bad. It was kind of creepy.
No.
Very creepy. And I thought, how could you go wrong? You already got a script. You know what the game is about. How could you go wrong? Apparently you can go quite wrong.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest with you.
I think it said best when Chris texted us and said, "Well, it was a movie."
Movie.
So I gotta be honest. I've watched it twice now because I watched it.
What?
Because
did you forget it was the movie of the month?
No. Well, I didn't know it was the movie of the month when I watched it the first time. We talked about it last podcast, and I think I watched it like a day later or 2 days later before we picked that. And then we picked that, and I was like, well, I'm not going to forget it because I barely paid attention to it for most of the movie. Maybe I did. I don't know.
So you watched it twice.
So I watched it a second time so I would be able to talk tonight. And honestly, after watching it a second time, I liked it just a hair more because I understood a little bit more of what the fuck was going on. So there's
that's the biggest problem. Biggest problem. Yeah.
You don't.
Biggest problem with the film is if you didn't play the video game, you have no fucking clue what the movie's even gonna be about.
And they do a bad job of leading you to that. Like, just like, here, this is what we're doing.
No backstory.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
There's no backstory.
It makes no sense at all. Yeah. It makes no sense at all. It's like someone did the least amount of work possible to convert the video game into a movie.
Yeah. Yep. So like I said, I understood it just a bit more because I watched it a second time. But who does that? Especially, like, I only watched it a second time because I was like, man, I got to watch this again because I'm not going to have anything to talk about.
Nah, you're a glutton for punishment. We know the truth.
I complained the entire time to Kim. I'm like, I'm going to go down and watch that stupid fucking movie now. She's like, why are you watching it again? I'm like, because I don't remember most of it because it was so boring that I wasn't paying a lot of attention.
I like the hurt it gives me.
but it was slightly better because I got to see, I knew more stuff the second time than I did the first time. So some of the weird ass voodoo shit she was doing at the end made a bit more sense.
Did it? How?
It didn't.
It did just a little bit more. Problem. Just a little bit more.
You didn't know what was happening, like the flashback. Like, is it, did that happen or was she imagining what that happened?
And
they did such a bad job of just bouncing the whole fucking movie. It just bounced.
And the best was he said to her four times in the third act, I'm going to explain everything to you.
And he doesn't.
And he doesn't. And then some more weird shit happens. And she's like, what the fuck is this? And he's like,
motherfucker, shh, just like, how is this girl?
I'm going to explain everything to you now. And I'm like, you just did, I thought.
And why, like he said, did, like, why would you hire this poor girl you know what I mean?
Because he was going to use her the same way he was using that other girl, because whatever the fuck this demon is that's, I don't know, lives in dead bodies, he was using her blood to keep it at bay so it didn't, whatever, I don't know. And then they try to, I don't fucking know. Like I said, I'm telling you, like I figured it out a little bit more towards the end, but it was still stupid.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry I made you watch it.
I almost bailed on it.
I watched it twice.
I'm just like,
I don't think I'm ever going to bail on a movie. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that, but I almost bailed.
Listen, a lot of, I'm sure there's people out there that like this movie. I'm not one.
There was 18% of the tomato meter liked it.
Yeah. So the thing that I don't like about it is that there's this constant trend of converting video games to movies, right? And it's reaching its peak now. We're seeing, you know, multiple movies per quarter that are based on a video game, right?
Yep.
And now next we got Backrooms coming out. We got the new Resident Evil coming out.
How do you make that into a movie? How do you make Backrooms?
I have no fucking clues.
Same way you make Mortuary Assistant into a movie. Just fucking throw some shit on the wall and see how many people pay money to watch it.
Yeah.
Five Nights at Freddy's sort of makes sense.
Well, Five Nights at Freddy's did so well. They did Five Nights at Freddy's 2, and now they're talking about 3 because 2 fucking clobbered the box office when they released it.
But the Resident Evils, I don't think they've made one good one of those so far.
The first one wasn't bad.
No.
It was average.
I kind of like the first one. It's not great. Same thing with like the first Silent Hill.
No, that was bad. Well, they made an it. Yeah, that was bad.
It was okay. It wasn't. I don't think it was horrible. The second one was fucking terrible, and the new one that came out was. I don't even want to talk about it because I was in such high hopes that it would be something fantastic, and it just wasn't. But yeah.
But back to the movie we're supposed to be reviewing. It's that bad that we're talking about other shit.
Yeah, exactly. The point I'm trying to make is that these trend of
trying to video game the trauma
movies need to end. They need to stop. We need to take a break from it because they're just getting lazy about adopting some shitty storyline and turning it into
just to make a few bucks
storyline. Yeah. There were some creepy elements of the film. I won't ignore that.
I thought some of the practical effects when they were doing like the the embalming stuff was pretty cool, and the sounds that went along with that.
I mean, the skin looked like, I mean, the incisions and the skin, that all looked like real. I mean, it's crazy how real they can make.
Yeah, I thought the visuals were pretty good.
That close up too. You know.
Yeah, and part, you know, the lighting, it was creepy because the lighting, some of the sound, the sound effects.
Yeah, it started off kind of creepy. Gross shit. You know, I thought it was going to be good, like in the first like 15 minutes, but then when it just kind of didn't do anything throughout the entire movie, I was like, Well, that was disappointing.
The storyline just was confusing and awful. Yeah. The there wasn't anything fun about watching the fucking film, and it wasn't all that scary. There were some creepy parts where I was like, that's pretty creepy. They could have made that something even better, but they didn't take that road.
I didn't understand. Was that little guy supposed to be the demon? The little white dude who smiling just showed up every now and again? Like
that's my thought. That was my thought. They didn't explain it, but that was my thought. Yeah.
So he is, you could see him, but he's also able to possess your body. Yeah, I don't know.
You can't explain it. Yeah. And I was really hoping the director of the mortuary would actually tell us what was going on. It never really did. It wasn't very clear at all. About as clear as mud.
The acting was smelly.
Yeah. I've seen that other
audition was hard.
I've seen him in something else, and he was actually pretty good. And I was like, in this thing,
he was horrible, just like dry, like thanks, dry.
I'm going to explain everything to you now.
You know what was so funny too? I don't know if you guys noticed it, but they had a fence. It was like a 10-foot fence.
Oh yeah, around the outside of the building.
But when you walked in, there was like no gate. It was wide open in the front. You could just, it was like around the whole building, like for security. But yet there was no gate. You could just walk right through it. I'm like, what's up with that? That was like the first thing I noticed. I was like,
all right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have very much to say about it. I'm sorry.
No, well, I could also say that I figured out the second time I watched it that it was also supposed to be like a symbolic movie about like addiction and the cost of your addictions on your loved ones, and how that could be a demon like on your like in your life that you need to cleanse, kind of thing. I think that was also. I can't imagine that a video game is being made that way, but I think maybe that's what they were trying to do with this.
You were in the mortuary.
Okay, so there was nothing about her like drug abuse and being a heroin junkie and her. No. Okay, so that's what they were trying to do with the movie then. I think was to try to mix those two things together.
Yeah, I mean, it was an independent video game. I didn't play it very long. I tried it out. I was like, yeah, it's a spooky kind of creepy game,
a bad movie.
But a bad
and the old too. People were the old people were creepy, and they didn't do a nice job with that, like showing the bodies really good, like they did in the video game. Like that old lady in the video game, she was like creepy as hell.
You know what they should
some of the yeah, plot.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Nothing. I was just gonna say something stupid. So go ahead.
I was just saying some of the plot just didn't even fucking make sense.
Like I said, the flashbacks and like is this
right.
Happened?
Well, that storyline was very choppy. It wasn't good at all. That part,
there was no flow.
Well, he was like, he kept saying to her, like, just one cut. And then she cut herself numerous times. I'm like, well, you said all she needed was one cut, and she cut herself a dozen times already. What was supposed to happen? Was that supposed to be part of the ritual, or like, why you keep telling her just one cut?
It's funny. I'm just breezing through some of the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, and one of them is half a star. And it's just suck. This movie sucks. And there's a couple good ones though. There's like these must be younger people are saying the video game was awesome and it reminds them of the video game. It's probably a better adaptation for horror movie than Five Nights at Freddy's was. And I'm like, well, Five Nights at Freddy's clobbered the box office, man.
Yeah.
I haven't seen either one of those yet. Yeah. The Five Nights at Freddy's.
Neither have I.
No, I haven't either.
Someone here says they enjoyed it. They changed a few things from the game to the movie to make them translate better on screen than they would as a video game.
They didn't change it.
Yeah, a lot of people who played the video game liked it. Hmm. And that's the problem, I guess. It's a very niche audience. And since it was an independent video game, it's not one that was widely played, like say
it's even more niche.
It makes it even harder to be a successful. Well,
it didn't come out. It was for PC, and it didn't come out for the consoles.
It was on Steam.
And it didn't come out to consoles till like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, and it came out on PC in 2022.
Yeah, it was a long time. Yeah, it took 3 or 4 years to get to consoles.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I know, because I was waiting.
You know what the weird thing is at the end of the movie, she walked back into the mortuary, and I'm like, are they like trying to angle for a sequel here? It's like, I'm going to go back in there. I'm like, oh no, don't do it. Go away.
Well, he never told me why I needed to be here. Let me go back in and find out why.
Maybe he'll explain everything.
Oh my God.
All right.
Let me open up our little, hold on. My mouse is, what the fuck is going? All right. We're gonna do our little rating now. As soon as I open up our little spreadsheet. Deplane.
He boss.
All right, here we are. We are looking at
South Park. He boss.
We are looking at, all right, for the mortuary system, the visuals.
They're good. I'd say three.
I think the practical effects were really good. I think it was creepy. The lighting, there was a lot of good creepy sound effects in the background and lighting.
The set, like you said, I don't think they did a good job with the set either. But
I gave it a 3. Okay.
But yeah, no, and you're right. The effects were good. There was some good stuff.
Yeah, I'd say 3. 3 is good.
I think I'm trying to average them out so that I don't give this movie a very good grade. And the visuals may have been better than a 3, but the rest of the movie bring those down to a 3 for me. Cause you know, in order to enjoy those visuals, yeah. I had to sit through the film twice.
Yeah. The sound design. I thought it was fairly decent.
Yeah. There was some good squelches and burps and, you know, the ear music was okay ish. Another 3 for me.
I'm going to give
three.
It a 2.5.
I'm going to go another 3.
What about you? What about you, Deedle Nick?
2.
2.
All right, let's go with 2.5. The acting.
2.
I said 2.5. I said 2. 1.5. I said 2.5.
Oof. Oh, so 1.5, 2, and 2.5. It goes with a 2.
Yeah, I could jump down to a 1.
The story.
1.
The story.
1.
Yes. Story, that's say 1.
1 for sure.
That okay. Bad. The fun or fear.
Also 1.
1.
Yeah. It was neither. It was neither. Like I didn't laugh. I didn't jump. Like I think once, like I said, in the first 10 minutes, I felt a little creepiness, but it was just all ruined by the rest of the movie.
All right, let's go over this real quick and make sure we're on point for this. The mortuary assistant visuals, a 3.0. Sound design, 2.5. Acting, 2.0. Story, 1.0. You know what? Let's go back to acting. We'll throw that down to a 1.5. Nick says he would go with that.
We're trying to keep this average as low as we can.
Yeah.
Those visuals really pull it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, didn't pull it down enough. All right. So now what we're looking at is the overall score is a 2-star movie. The mortuary assistant is a 2-star movie.
With an asterisk next to it. 2 with an asterisk next to it. Helped out greatly by its visuals.
Yeah, we were really stretching this one. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure other people like it out there. I'm sure people that played the video game and love the video game.
Sounds like it.
The greatest thing ever. But as someone who just lightly played a video game and people who have not played a video game, the story was confusing. The plot points didn't make any sense. And it just was not what it should have been. Maybe better actors, maybe better script.
Better editing.
The movie wasn't fun. The movie wasn't overly scary. It was kind of meh.
Yeah, it was a movie. It was a movie.
And look, Chris liked it enough to watch it twice.
Really helping out those ratings.
All right.
I think it was number 2 on Shudder's
Yeah, everybody was watching it on Shudder, apparently.
It may have been number one at some point.
Yeah. Again, it was a new release. maybe word of mouth from people that played the game were like, oh, it's a great movie. You saw it in the theater. And they're like, all right, I'll wait. Thing,
right? Until people start watching it, you don't know. And I was excited for it somewhat.
So far, everyone that I've talked to that has bothered to watch it was not impressed.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you. All right. That is it for this month's episode. I want to take a moment to once again thank all of our listeners for stopping by and listening in. If you have suggestions for the future podcast, general feedback, you can email us at feedback@the-american-amer.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 1-562-247-5855. And we will have another show for you next month.
Peace.
Peace.
All right. Thanks.